December 31st of 2006, my family and I moved from this very place, left this street right out here with all of our belongings packed, and we moved to San Antonio, Texas. Now, about 1 week later, I started a brand new job at Stevenson Middle School in San Antonio. I was the assistant choir teacher there. I had two general music sixth grade classes, two choirs, I mean, and then four general music classes. Now, I should have checked things out a little more before I got there. I had not seen the classroom I would be teaching in until the day I started work. That was one problem right there. The classroom, about the size of this stage, I would say no windows. One class had 38 students in it. Now, that should tell you something right there. Should have checked out why I was taking over for somebody that had resigned. The lady that originally had the job only lasted 8 weeks. You would think I would have asked, but I didn't. I thought first period was going to be the death of me, literally. Now, not that the other classes didn't have their own snags, it's regular sixth grade kids, but I really thought first period was going to do me in. These kids were wild. I mean, they were just out of control. I mean, we're talking throwing things and in your face, and it was, I mean, just rude and sarcastic. It was awful in there. Now, I know some of you might be thinking, ha, bet you were wishing you hadn't left this job here. Now, do you really think I thought that? Every morning in first period, I thought that. What have I done? What have I done? It was awful. And I solicited the help of administrators and different ones, and I did the calls home and, detention and all of those things. But I tell you, it seems like just nothing was doing any good. One day, I got an email from one of the vice principals. Each is a very, very large school. Each grade has its own vice principal. And the one over sixth grade was a lady named Pam Gould. Now, I'm trying to think how to describe Miss Gould. I'm going to just call her a strong woman. Does that suffice it just to say? Now, she's taller than me, which most of the world is. I realize that. But she was a tall, impressive woman. You didn't mess with Miss Gould. I didn't mess with Miss Gould. I was scared of her, all right? Well, I had solicited the help of administrators, and one day I got this email from her, and this is what it said. Oh, you're a good man. Thank you, James. It says, "Hi, Doug. I'm coming into your class on Wednesday right after the announcements. Don't say anything to the kids. The IAs," that's like teacher assistant people that come with students in there, "the IAs have actually told me how horrible the kids are. I will deal with these kids because this will no longer be tolerated. You don't deserve that treatment. Pam." Well, that was powerful. As you can see, I saved it. That was big news. Now, there was only one little itty-bitty problem with that email. You see, it was timed at 5:30 on Tuesday night. I had already left for the day. The next morning, I was not in the habit of checking my email before school. You already know where this one is going. I had no idea she had sent that email. Wednesday morning, I'm sitting there kind of half-hearted, shoulders sort of slumped, and listening to, I pledge allegiance to the flag, and it's just things were not going good. And all of a sudden, boom, she comes flying into there. "I will not take this from these students anymore, and you will support Mr. Bold, blah, blah, blah." I mean, you saw 30 kids come jumping, but no one jumped any higher than I did. I've never been so scared in all my life. I am serious. You're talking the phrase that your heart skips a beat. It literally skipped a beat. It scared me so bad. And I'm telling you what, she went off on those kids. Oh, she just said, "This will not, we will have to, no, we'll call your parents and blah, suspension and blah, 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 blah." And she kept gesturing over me. She said, "And Mr. Bolt is one of our teachers, and you will not do this." Now, after I finally kind of calmed down, she went on about 10 minutes. I am not joking, about 10 minutes on these kids. When I finally calmed down and realized what was going on, started feeling kind of good. I like this. Instead, I was sitting there very, like this. Inside, I was going, "Woo, you go, Miss Gould, you go." I wanted to jump on the stool or something like that. I wanted to give her a hug is what I wanted to do, I'm telling you what, I don't think I've ever felt so supported in the educational system as I was that day. I came home and told Terry, I said, it was a moment in educational history. I absolutely love it. I mean, she stood by me. She said she would not take anything from these kids, and she was my advocate all the way. She flung that door open and she said, this is one of mine. And when you receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, the God of all creation, he flings open the door and he bulldozes over the enemy and says, you will not treat him that way. This is my child. Take your Bibles, if you have them, and turn to the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 1. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 1. But now, this is what the Lord says. He who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. Why, when you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. Why, even when you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. Why? For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Redeemed for challenging times. Now, this job that I had, about the middle of February, I had been there, I think, about 6 weeks or so. I got a note in my box one morning from the principal, the head principal, and she said, see me as soon as you can. That's not good news. And so I went and saw her around noontime. And what had happened is the numbers at the school were going to be down considerably the next year. They could no longer justify my position. And so I lost my job. But the good news there is the district still is guaranteed to give you a job. And what actually happened, so I came home and told Terry, all in one breath, I said, I lost my job, but I got another one. I didn't even stop in the middle because I knew that she would have heart failure if I took a breath in there. What happened, this was really actually very good. There were several of us at the school that were displaced, and we were all sent to a brand new school called Jefferson Middle School, and much, much better situation. I mean, kids are still kids, but just absolutely love this new job. I'm the head choir teacher. There are no other choir teachers, but I'm the main one there for grades 6, 7, and 8. Jefferson Middle School. Now, when I first heard of it, I thought maybe the same thing you might have thought just now, probably named after President Thomas Jefferson. But no, actually it's named after a man named Wallace Jefferson. Now that may not mean anything to you here in Oregon, but in Texas that name means something. Wallace Jefferson is the current Supreme Court Chief Justice of the state of Texas, and still very much alive. And in fact, a little sidebar, I was only slightly discouraged when Mr. Jefferson himself came to our dedication ceremony. And in his biography, I realized he was younger than me. Okay, they're naming schools after children now, apparently, okay. how many schools do I have named after me? Let's see. Wonderful man, the first African-American man to hold this position. And interestingly enough, his great-great-great-grandfather was a slave owned by the Chief Justice of that day. So the ultimate irony now is this slave, his great-great-grandson, has become the Supreme Court Chief Justice. Wonderful story. Well, Mr. Jefferson actually came again and visited us, just a few weeks ago. And some students interviewed him in the library, and then they simulcast this into each of our classrooms, so we watched it in our first period classes. And then after the interview, he stayed around a little while and spoke with students and, you know, toured the school again. Well, third period comes around, and Johnny Alvarez comes flying in late, as he often does. And so this is nothing new. I said, John, do you have a late pass? And very excited, because he never usually does. This time he says, hey, he's out of breath. I was talking to the guy. And I knew who he meant, but I went ahead and played dumb. I said, I need a little more to go on. If I'm going to excuse you for being late, then I was talking to that guy. Well, what that guy are you talking about? And he said, you know, that guy on TV. Didn't know his name. He is attending a school named after Wallace Jefferson. Did not even realize as he watched that entire thing that my school is named after that guy. Didn't even know. So I went ahead and made a little quiz moment out of this whole thing. I said, John, what school do you go to? And he looked at me like I'd lost it. Like, what in the world does it have to do with this? He said, what? I said, John, just say the name. What school do you go to? Finally, I go to Jefferson Middle School. What does that have to do with it? I said, John, do you realize that that guy, that is Wallace Jefferson. Your school is named after him. You go to the school named after this guy. Well, I emailed some of the administrators after that, and I said, here's a kind of funny, sad story. Told the whole thing to him. One of the vice principals wrote back. He said, oh, yeah, we were there. He asked Mr. Jefferson for a late pass to class. So then I was telling the police officer this story, both parts of the story, my part and then how I had emailed and what I'd heard back. Every school has a police officer on site. And he said, oh, no, actually, he says, no, you still don't have it right. I was under the impression that he was talking to him, and they said, oh, hey, can you give me a late pass? He said, no. He was already late, came flying by, recognized the guy from TV, and just walked right up to him and said, hey, can I get a late pass from you? All right? This is why Mr. Jefferson is a Supreme Court justice. He said, no. Absolutely amazed me. This kid didn't even realize that on his T-shirt that says Jefferson Middle School, that guy was the Jefferson of the school that he goes to. His namesake. That man was actually in his very presence there. And little Johnny Alvarez didn't even realize he was wearing his name. And it kind of makes me wonder about us Christians sometimes. God has sent his son into our presence. Emmanuel, which means Jesus, God is with us right now. We wear his name as Christians. And I just really wonder how many of us really know him. Or do we just know about him? Do we really know him in a deep and on a daily basis, or is he just a free lunch ticket? Is he just one to get a late pass from? Is he just one for whom we can just run to when we have a need? Do we really know whose name we bear? Now, you may answer like I have for many years. I hear messages like that, and I say, yeah, no, I know him. I know him. But I've had to ask myself a question that I would put before you this morning as well. Is it possible that us seasoned Christians who have been around since day one, and we've gone to Sunday school, and we've gone to church, and we've gone to camp meeting, for goodness sake, and we've watched every flannel graph presentation there is to have, that we convinced ourselves that knowing about him is the same as knowing him? I assure you they are not the same thing. Do you know about him, or do you know him? This morning, I would like to challenge you and challenge myself to know this Redeemer, to know this God, to truly know who he is, and to know him inside your being, this man, this great God that has come and sent his son, Jesus Christ, to this earth to bear our sins. Do you know him? Challenge you. Be redeemed. Live as one redeemed. For challenging times. Now, number one, what does it mean to be redeemed? Point number one, and some things don't change, there will be 3 points this morning, I can assure you of that. Might as well give you the good news right now. Number one, live as one redeemed. Live as one redeemed. In San Antonio, I have been so blessed to have a myriad of opportunities to use my piano skills in a variety of ways down there. I'm actually quite busy in addition to my school teaching. And one of the things I've been privileged to get to do is actually do a few recordings for a couple of different local people. And a friend of ours from our church, his name is Joseph Lopez, owns a recording studio. And he called me up one day, and he said he had a lady that was wanting to record a CD, And a few of the songs, it was like praise choruses type of thing. And wondered if I'd do some keyboard work on a few of the songs. I said, sure, I'd be glad to do it. So I went to a studio, and the lady was there. She wasn't there to record her stuff, but just to, you know, guide along what she wanted. And I played the songs, and she said, oh, you know, that's so nice. And but I could tell, we could both tell there was a hesitance, and we said, no, this is your CD. What do you want? What? Well, now this will shock you. It was a little too complicated. I was playing too many things. I know that comes as a real surprise to you, doesn't it? we discovered, and it was really quite nice, she really wanted more of like a lullaby kind of thing, just like a music box, very, very simple. She said, well, that's easier, not for me. You know what I mean? I play as many notes as I can, as loud as I can, so this was quite a challenge for me. But actually, like I said, it turned out good. Now, on this one song, and of course, I'm still just improvising this accompaniment. The simpler it is, the more exposed it is, okay? You know, see, my style, I just camouflage. I play way more wrong notes than I play right notes, you know? But you kind of don't realize it because there's just so many of them in there, you know what I mean? So now it's all exposed. You can hear every single little thing. Well, right midway through the song, we're actually recording it, just the keyboard, and my little finger, I can see it to this day, just barely grazed an F sharp. No, what's an F sharp? Well, in certain keys, you don't want it. I'll just say that, okay? And was in one of those you don't want it keys, okay? And like clang, you know. And I go, I'm going to do it all over again. But I went ahead and kept playing. And Joseph, my recording buddy, he wrote something down right away. So I thought, well, obviously it's connected to the mistake, but he didn't say to stop. So I just kept on, you know, playing it, you know, knowing I'd have to do it again. So we got all done, and I said, oh, man, I'm so sorry about that. Oh, you know, and I know that was really horrible. And he went, you know, everything's computerized now. And so on the computer screen, everything is kind of hard to explain, but everything comes up on the screen that I have played, okay? And even as simple as it was still just, I couldn't imagine if I was actually playing this way, what that screen would look like. But there was just all kinds of all over the screen. And what he had notated when I made that mistake is exactly where in the song that mistake was. And you know what he did? He took that little mouse, zeroed in on it, and click, beep, it was gone. Like it had never happened. I am serious. So you look back on it, when you listen to it, it will be an absolutely flawless performance. It never existed. It's completely gone. No undesirable F sharp in there anymore. Now let's think what Joseph did for it. When you get that CD, if you would buy that, it will say on there, keyboard by Doug Bolt. But recorded by, produced by Joseph Lopez. Now, what does that mean? What that means is the gift that I laid down was a flawed, imperfect gift. It had a mistake in it. It had something in there that should not be there. And then Joseph did something for me that I could not do for myself. You see, he moved in and he took that mistake out of there. It was still me playing. It was still my gift laid down, but he perfected it. He provided something that I could not do for myself, and that is precisely what Isaiah is saying here in this scripture. God said, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have taken that sin out as if it never existed. I have done something for you that you could not do for yourself. Your gift was an imperfect gift. But because what I have done for you, Israel, and then Jesus Christ dying on the cross for our sins, what he has done for us is he enables us to present a flawless gift before God. We can't do that by ourselves. It's only by his blood that I can stand and say, I just heard that somewhere recently. That's why we sang that this morning. That's what he has done for you. Yes, even you. Because I think there might have even been a few of you think, well, not me. You know what? To carry my illustration a little bit further along, I was really thinking about this the other day. And I thought, man, if I could see my life on that computer screen, it'd be a whole lot more than an F sharp, I'll tell you that much, okay? It'd be click, boop, 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 boop. You have to be pulling all kinds of stuff. God's little finger had to have been really tired with that mouse on the computer screen of Doug Bolt's life because it was a mess on there. But boop, 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 he took everything out. He removed it. And now I stand clean. Before God. I want us to pause for a moment. I fear that if we move on too quickly, that we will not take the time that is necessary to meditate on this. I want you to think about this for a moment. We have more to talk about. We do. I know that my Redeemer lives. I want you to take some time right now and think about that. What does that mean in your life? What does that mean for you? What does that computer screen look like with your life before the blood of Jesus Christ? What does it mean to be redeemed? Live as one redeemed. Redeemed for challenging times. Number one, live as one redeemed. Live as one for whom the door has been flung open. And the God of all creation says, "This is my child." That's the key to knowing him. Not just knowing about him. Live in his presence. Live as one redeemed. Now, number two. Live as one redeemed through the pressures of this life. Live as one redeemed through the pressures of this life. We have a tree in our front yard. It's sort of like a tree bush thing. It's now starting to look kind of this thing. Anyway, I don't know about greenery and things like that. We'll call it a tree bush thing, okay? Now, when we first moved in, I asked a friend of mine there that was actually owned a landscaping business. I said, "That thing's dead, isn't it? I mean, it was horrible looking. It was just these little twigs, you know, all in the ground there, and it was like Charlie Brown Christmas. You know what I mean? It just looked bad. It was, I mean, obviously dead." And I just kind of wanted to confirm that. And he said, "Doesn't look good. I'll tell you that much." And he did something interesting. He went over and he took one of the little twig branch things, and kind of bent it. And interestingly enough, it didn't snap. Okay, it was pliable, and you see inside it was green. He said, "Well, actually, there's still some life there. That thing is actually still alive." And I said, with my mouth, I said, "Oh, isn't that interesting?" In my head, I thought, "It's dead. I don't know who you're fooling. I don't know what kind of landscape guy you are. The thing is dead. It's obviously clearly dead." All right. Well, it wasn't. Maybe 2, possibly 3 months later, this tree bush thing explodes with the most gorgeous blossoms. Now, you're all wide and went, "What kind of tree bush?" I don't know. So don't ask me now. Don't ask me later. I don't know what it is. I just know that these white flowers, I mean, it felt like it just came out of nowhere. I mean, this thing was just strikingly, stunningly beautiful. So nice. Obviously, very much, very much alive. Now, let me tell you something. Keep that picture in mind. Let me tell you something about Texas rain as opposed to Oregon rain, okay? Now, Oregon rain, Terry, you're from Texas, aren't you? Yeah, so you know, you'll understand what I'm talking about. Oregon rain is what I would call respectable rain. It's like gentleman's rain, you know? It comes down nicely. Even when it comes down hard, it is still straight and quiet, okay? It doesn't disturb the universe. It just comes down. Not Texas rain. I mean, it just comes out of nowhere, you know? And at first, it has to start with all this lightning. I mean, it is classic scary movie stuff. I'm laying in bed one night, just not too long ago, you know? And through the windows, you can see the lightning go, you know, just like a scary movie goes. And it's loud. I mean, this thunder, I mean, this is like Indiana. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, back when I was back in Anderson, I remember that thunder roar, huge. So it's just boom and loud, and it just comes down. Now, our street is on a little bit of a slope, and I am not exaggerating. I mean, you can watch waves coming down the street. I mean, it's nasty and mean and disrespectful. It just is, you know? It's all over the place, you know? Well, we sit out, I think, because we're just so stunned by this. I mean, we're still, you know, we still got the webbed toes, you know. We sit out there on our front porch, that's covered, of course, and we'll just, I mean, just watch it. I mean, we just watch this rain. It is just incredible. Now, here's something I've noticed about this tree bush thing in our front yard. It's more what I've noticed about the rain and the wind itself. That rain and wind, at least so far, has never done this thing where it dances around the tree. The rain has never said, oh, but it's such a beautiful tree thing, and it looked like it used to be kind of dead-like, so we'll just blow and water around it because we don't want to disturb that precious little tree thing. The rain and wind has never once done that. Oh, no. It just pelts against that tree. And that tree, I mean, it bends all the way over and side and back. And I'm telling you what, it like almost bows over to the ground sometimes. The rain is just merciless, but that tree has never come unrooted. It still has its flowers. It is still very much alive because it is grounded. And so the rain can come all it wants. The wind can blow as hard as it wants to blow. And it doesn't get that tree down. And that's what he is saying here when Isaiah says, even when you walk through the waters, they won't overwhelm you. Why? Because I have redeemed you. You are mine. That's why we say, live as one redeemed. And then when the pressures of this life comes, you are grounded in him. And you can say, come on, blow all you want. He can blow you back. He can blow you forward. He can blow you sideways. He can blow however it wants because you are rooted. You are grounded in our Redeemer. That's why we say, I know my Redeemer lives. Now, I want you to note something about the scripture. More what it does not say. It does not say, fear not, for I have redeemed you, and therefore you won't have to walk through the waters anymore. No, that would be John Alvarez asking for the Chief Justice for a late pass. See, I want to be redeemed so I don't have to have pressure. That's not how it works. In fact, what I hear in there, maybe I'm reading too much between the lines, but what I hear in there is, you're going to go through the river. You're going to walk through deep waters. It is going to happen. It tells it elsewhere in Scripture, in the book of James, you will have troubles in this life. I just say there is not a person in this room, in this building, that is not experiencing heavy pressure, perhaps even at this time. Say, well, not little kids, not when you're 2 and 3 years old and you're trying to get potty trained, that's pressure. I'm serious. That ain't easy for them. Maybe you're a senior citizen and the effects of age and perhaps financial pressures and physical pressures are upon you. Perhaps you're in the middle like us. Notice how I'm not a senior person, okay, but I'm in the middle and you're caring for older parents and you're caring for kids. Perhaps you're a teenager. I don't care what age you are, you're experiencing pressure. This life presses in on us. And life is more like Texas rain. It's not like Oregon rain. It is not a respecter of persons. It is going to bulldoze over. It is going to blow right through you and around you and all over the place. That's why it says here, live as one redeemed. I redeemed you. So then the waters of those rivers that you are walking through, they will not overwhelm you. You're going to walk through them, but they won't overwhelm you. That's really good news, if I do have to say so. Live as one redeemed. Live as one redeemed through the pressures of this life. But I think there's a little bit more here. Number one, live as one redeemed. Number two, live as one redeemed through the pressures of this life. And number three, live as one redeemed through the hurts of this life. Live as one redeemed through the hurts of this life. Toward the end of April, it seemed like, just out of nowhere, I had this pain in my side. I can't even really hardly describe it, but it was just really severe, just kind of from the front, running around to the back there. It was just strange. It was just really, really strange. Now, I'm going to go ahead and tell you right now, because some of you are not going to listen to this story unless I tell you this right now. Number one, no, I don't know what it was. Number two, I never went to the doctor, okay? Because I know you're going, did you go to the doctor? What is it? I don't know what it was, and I never went to the doctor, okay? So now listen to my story. Have I taken care of that? Okay, all right. It hurt really bad. And, Terry looked at it and can't see anything. Strangest thing. Man, it was just hurting. Could not attribute it to anything. Sometimes you have, a pain or a bruise or something like that. Oh, well, that's from when I fell or da-da-da-da. I couldn't remember running into anything because I was obviously on the inside. Could not think what it was. Strangest thing. All of a sudden one day, you know how it is, just out of the clear blue, oh, my goodness. I know exactly where that came from. Okay, Dr. Doug, diagnosed himself. I know exactly where that came from. Now, the mystery is why it didn't surface, the pain didn't surface for a few days. That part I don't understand, but I know exactly what happened. My birthday had been just a few days before that. And Terry and I went out to dinner with some neighbors across the street. And when we came home, the kids had a little impromptu surprise party for me. Yeah, very, very thoughtful of them. And so when I came through the door, you know, the usual thing, the lights were out, and, you know, surprise! And that it was really sweet. Now, the first one to greet me was our son Josh. Now, little sidebar, let me catch up on things. Josh is 15. Now, we adopted Josh when he was 5 years old, and it's hard to believe it'll be 10 years this summer that he's been with us. And I remember the foster home that he was in before we adopted him. I remember the mom saying, oh, he is so strong, and he'll give you these bear hugs, and it's just, my neck hurts sometimes. And sure enough, I mean, first hug, he said, Dad, let me give you a bear hug, you know, and, oh, I mean, this kid was strong, 5 years old. Okay, so add 10 years onto that, okay, all right? And, of course, you know, they're all, like I say, everybody's taller than me, but, I mean, he's big, muscular, you know, kid. I mean, he's a big kid, I mean, he's a strong kid. And so Josh, that night, I'm coming home, and we come in, he's the first one to greet me. Now, Josh doesn't just give you a hug, okay? And again, it's a little stronger than that. So he said, Dad, happy birthday, and he picks me up, okay, like I'm a feather. Now, I realize I'm not a large person, but there's some substance to me, you know what I mean? So he picks me up and swings me around, happy birthday, Dad! And so I am literally, I am not exaggerating, pushing him with all my strength. Oh, okay, Josh, put me down now. Okay, isn't this fun? And through the kitchen we went, and he's just all over, like a baby. You know what I mean? And I said, oh, okay, yeah, Dad's getting kind of old now. Put me down. Oh, okay, yeah, happy birthday. Oh, leave me alone, okay? Now, again, why it didn't surface that night, I do not know. But then a couple of days later, I thought, he did something. And I'm telling you, it's just only about a week ago that pain went away. So whatever he did, I don't know. It was brutal on the inside. Now, let me tell you this. I felt it, and it hurt, okay? Now, you could not see anything at all. Terry looked at it. She says, no, everything looks fine. Couldn't see it. I didn't walk any different. I didn't, sit differently. Still smiled, you know. I mean, life went on. You would never, ever even know that there was any pain on the inside at all if I didn't say anything. Couldn't see a thing. Now, you know, some physical pain, you can see it. Right? You know, you break a leg or something, you have a cast, or, you know, you can have a scar. Sometimes physical pain shows itself. But other times, like this, physical pain, no one even knew anything was wrong. Didn't even know. How much like our emotional pain, I think that is. Sometimes you can see it. You know, we have tears, maybe a sad face, maybe slumped shoulders or something like that. Sometimes you can see the emotional pain. I think most of the time we can't. I think most of the time the hurt and the pain that we carry is not visible to other people. I really believe that. I remember so many times when I was here with the choir, we'd always end our practice time with, you know, praises and prayer requests and whatnot. I remember thinking many, many times someone would share something, and the spirit in me just said, there is more pain behind those words. I don't think there are words to describe it. I think there's an inner hurt there that they can't even express. We carry hurt. We carry pain in our lives, and I believe that is precisely what Isaiah is talking about. When he says, when you walk through the fire, you will not be burnt. You can actually walk through that fire, and because you are one redeemed, you will not be burned. So once again, my friends, this morning, I have very, very good news for you. Live as one redeemed, and you will be grounded, you will be planted as you walk through the pressures of this life. Live as one redeemed. Know whose name you wear, and when you walk through the fires of this life, you will not be burned. Now let me remind you once again. It does not say you won't walk through the fire. It doesn't say that. I know Terry and I have had much pain, most of it in relationship to our children. We've had some tough times. We've had some very tough times. And you don't necessarily see it. We don't wear it necessarily, but it hurts very deeply on the inside. I just said to Terry a few weeks ago as I was preparing this sermon, I said, Just like old times again. I hate it. I haven't preached a sermon for over a year. And once again, I get the sermon going and it preaches to me. I hate it. Oh, you know? One night, you know, some difficulties with one of our kids, and tears just streamed down my face. I said, you know, I believe that maybe the people at Richmond might get a little something out of it. I don't know. But God had me prepare the sermon to preach to myself. When you walk through the fire, you're not going to be burned. It will hurt. It will not be easy. And there will not be a day when it will stop. But because I have redeemed you, once again, I have flung open the door and I have said, this is my child. He belongs to me. Now, you can blow all you want. You can send all the rain you want, but it's not going to overwhelm him. And you can send all the fire you want. And you can have those blazes coming all over the place at him, but he's not going to be burned. Because this is my child. You see, when you know whose name you wear, when you know who it is who has redeemed you, when you live in the midst of his presence, every breath you breathe just radiates and you feel that redemption. When you live as one redeemed, then you're grounded and you're planted like that tree. When you live as one redeemed, you will not be hurt. You will not be overwhelmed by it. You will not be burned. Now, I believe these are good words for individuals. I believe this speaks to everyone in this room. Certainly speaks to me. But I also believe there's a corporate aspect to these words as well. You see, I believe there is a parallel group application here. Think of that, as a church. And in fact, let's speak specifically about the Richmond Community Church. Live as a people redeemed. Live as a people redeemed through the pressures of carrying on ministry in this neighborhood. And believe me, I know, and you know that I know what the pressures of carrying on ministry are like in this neighborhood. But live as a people redeemed, and you will find excitement in that. Only a bit of a sidebar. This is where the excitement is at. Now, we love our new home where we are at. But we have moved into Leave It to Beaver neighborhood. You know what I mean? I'm serious. I mean, the men wear sweaters and smoke pipes and the ladies wear dresses and strings of pearl and they hang their laundry out on the... I mean, it is like incredible. They have no idea. This is where all the adventure is down here. This is where the excitement is. But there's tremendous pressure in that. Tremendous pressure. To live as a people redeemed in this neighborhood. To let a light shine brightly in Southeast Portland. Live as a people redeemed through the pressures of carrying on ministry in this neighborhood. Live as people redeemed through the hurts that can come from carrying on ministry in this neighborhood. I'll be very honest. I know a year and a half ago when we left and resigned as your pastors, there was some hurt here over that. And I know a few months ago when your new pastor left after a very short time, there was some hurt. How do you know that? I haven't talked with anybody in length about this. I have not, but I just know there was. Live as a people redeemed. Live as a people redeemed. Was there hurt? Hey, will there be anger? Will there be things over many things that happen to us here as a church? Of course there will be. We're still real people. But live as a people redeemed. Don't forget that redemption is also what brings us together as brothers and sisters. Live as a people redeemed through the pressures of this life and live as people redeemed through the hurts of this life. Know who he is, not just about him. Live as one redeemed. Let me leave you with words that I quoted many, many times before. Marvel not that Christ in glory all of my inmost heart hath won. Why, he's not just a star to cheer the darkness, but he's a light beyond the sun. All below here is dark and shadowed. There's nothing there to claim my heart, save for a lonely track of sorrow where of old he walked apart. I have seen the face of Jesus. Tell me not of aught beside. and I have heard the voice of Jesus, and all my soul is satisfied. In the radiance of that glory, first I saw his blessed face, and forever shall that glory be my home and my dwelling place.